there. So, that being the case, I asked a fellow one time who preached for many years, I said, when you're standing in front of a congregation at the end of your sermon and they're singing a song and they can see the song because they have the words right there in the book and you don't have them, what do you do? This looks funny not to say anything or sing because you don't know the words. He said, well, there's a couple things you could do. One, you could just acknowledge the fact you don't know the song. And you just stand and look, and some of the words you might be able to recall, and that's fine. You can sing what you know. I said, well, what's the other thing? He said, well, otherwise you can just mouth the word watermelon over and over again, and they'll never know. So, and I will tell you, I've done both. And I think maybe some of us tried that a few minutes ago. I saw a note this morning. I was checking Facebook thinking that perhaps my wife has gone to Alabama, may have posted some pictures of the grandkids. I saw a post that said, last night we put our clocks back 1 hour, so you know what you got out of that? And then it says nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why? Because you're a parent, that's why. It makes a lot of sense, I think. Children don't know we got that extra hour, do they? We do, and maybe you got a chance to do that. 2 weeks from now is our congregational anniversary, 21 years. And it is going by very quickly. It seems like every time I turn around, we're having a congregational anniversary. Seems like you get up, go to work, cut the yard a few times, eat some turkey, and next thing you know, it's time for anniversary again. It goes very quickly. The older I get, the faster it comes. But it's a wonderful time. Last year we had our 20-year anniversary. So many people who were here. And it was a great event. And it's a great time for this congregation to reflect on how much God has done for us through these years. What a wonderful, wonderful service and time it is together. And we have asked Cinda to gather as many pictures from the last year as possible and have them running on the slide. I am fully aware of the fact that that may be happening during my sermon. And there may be times that you laugh when it's not something that's funny, because you may be able to see those slides, and that'll be perfectly fine if we do it that way. But I will tell you that she's gathering everything she can. So let me say this. If you have, and I promised her I would announce this, if you have a picture from this year, the last year here, of the congregation, some kind of congregational function, if it's a class or fellowship or some kind of event with the youth, whatever it might be, and you've got it on your phone, please do us a favor and share that with Cinda so that that can be a part of that list. This morning we're going to begin a series in the book of Revelation. And I'm going to encourage you to open your Bibles now to Revelation chapter 1. I'm not sure how long we're going to be in this series. We may be in it for some time, but I believe it is something that we should study and we can receive great insight in. Revelation chapter 1, I want us to read together the first three verses of this great book. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must soon come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. If there has ever been a book that is surrounded by mystery and intrigue, it is the book of Revelation. It is, without a doubt, the most misunderstood book of the 66. It is perhaps the most, not only misunderstood, but misused book among the 66. It brings question, indeed, for the novice as well as the scholar. But the book carries with it a great blessing. A great blessing, I submit to you, that is often overlooked. The book was written in a style, an apocalyptic style, that was common to the readers to which it was written, in other words, the churches that are there in Asia Minor. And many of the things that are written have already occurred. As much as some would have us believe, they're still on the way. And usually in election years or in some crisis in another part of the world. The vast majority of the things that are found therein have already occurred. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1 gives us a pretty good clue to that, don't you think? Where the first verse, the revealing was shown unto the Lord's servants, things that would, quote, soon come to pass. Things that were going to happen pretty soon. So there are many things in this book, and I submit to you the vast majority of the things that have already occurred. But some of those things, much later in the book, we will find when we get there, have yet to happen. The word revelation means an uncovering. That's what it means, an uncovering. Jesus is unveiling, if you will, some things for John while he's on the Isle of Patmos, and then later records these things for the churches in Asia Minor. And the message of the revelation was given to John indeed. And that revelation was none other, as we see it, as we just read, is none other than the Word of God. It is the testimony of Jesus Christ for the early church in Asia Minor. But I submit to you this revealed promise was not only just for those people, our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ, in that first century, that first period, that first section, those first fruits there of God's kingdom, but also is a message and a promise to us today. The book begins with a promise. A promise from God. And that promise is a blessing. Look at verse 3 again. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. The word blessed is in the Greek Makarios. And it wouldn't surprise you, and that this is indeed from Christ, that word Makarios is also the same word that Jesus used at the beginning of his sermon in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The exact word. Now there are other words for blessed or bless or blessings in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New. But this is the one that John used, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This message of Christ. This is the one, the same one, that our Lord used when He was speaking to the multitude there on the side of that mountain. And what I'd like to do is kind of look at that word for a minute, because the idea with that word, the root of that word, is actually a word that indicates something very long, something very, very large. Something that you just go, I can't believe this is happening. Or I can't believe how blessed we are. We sometimes say how lucky we are. If you discovered the Ark of the Covenant, if you found it, how blessed would you feel? If you were climbing an icy mountain, Mount Ararat, and you discovered the Ark, Noah's Ark, would you look around at the people next to you and say, you know, I just don't feel blessed at all? Not at all. You would say, do we understand what we found? And how blessed you would feel. This is the exact idea that's here. How blessed we are. This is the word Jesus wants us to read. It's the message He is conveying to us. I want us to focus on this blessing this morning, because I think there are some things here that can help us as we go through our series on the book of Revelation. If you look at verse 3, the first thing we see is the blessing to the reader. The blessing to the reader. Now, the blessing to the reader requires something. It requires an honest heart, an unbiased heart, an unprejudiced heart. An individual to say, my heart is to simply read this. I'm not going to take anything that perhaps I was taught beforehand or what someone else says. I'm going to have my heart open and I'm going to read this book. There is a great blessing there. The blessing is not for the one who reads it to find fault. There's no indication here where we have the Holy Spirit saying, you'll be blessed if you read this book and try to pick it apart. That's not what he's talking about. An individual who sets out to read it to find fault is not going to receive the blessing. Some may even approach the Word of God to find fault or error, and for that person, that blessing is not going to be there. It's not given. Some may read it outside the light of Scripture. Some people will take the book of Revelation almost, if you will, if you can imagine, taking it and pulling it out of the Bible and setting the rest of the Bible to the side and reading it and it alone. Well, you don't do any other book that way. Why would we do the book of Revelation that way? For an individual who simply wants to read it outside the light of Scripture and then perhaps even carelessly build teachings that are contrary to everything else that's found in the New Testament, there's no blessing for an individual who would do such a thing. Ephesians chapter 3 teaches us that the revelation of God is to be known. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Ephesians 3? Listen as I read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. How that by revelation, Paul said, he made known unto me the mystery, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And this revelation was that in verse 6, this is the mystery. This was the revelation, verse 6, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. That the Gentile people would be brought into the family. They would have an opportunity to hear that message, receive that message, be obedient to that message, and that they would be fellow heirs with Christ, all in the same body, the church. I submit to you, brethren, that the message of the book of Revelation is the same. It was written to be understood, otherwise it's not a revelation of God. At first it was a mystery, it was something that was mysterious indeed. It was hidden, it was a mystery, not sure what's happening here. And Paul said, I've revealed the mystery and it's a revelation of God. And I will tell you that the message of the book of Revelation was written also to be understood. Otherwise, it's not a revelation of God. Now, an individual would then say, Lamar, you claim to understand everything in the book of Revelation? No, I didn't say that. There are things in the other books that I'm still trying to figure out. But that has really never kept me from understanding some very important things in life. How many of you have read the entire tax code? You still pay your taxes though, don't you? You believe in the tax code? You believe you're supposed to do it? Believe you get in trouble if you don't? There's a lot of things we do in this life, and there's certain things we understand. I may not understand everything about it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I can't learn and gain an understanding of what's going on. There's a great blessing for those who read, and there are things that we can understand in the book of Revelation. There's a great blessing there. Man can know the message of this book. He can know that that message is true and that we are blessed as a result of knowing it. It's a book that should be read. It is a book that should be studied. And if not, we miss the message. The message of the book. If you had to sum up the book of Revelation in one word, what would it be? It would start with a V and end with a Y. It's not very. It's victory. That's the theme of the book. I want to read a book all about victory, not defeat. It is a book of victory. Genesis says this is how we start, and the end of the book says, and this is how we're victorious. And how wonderful that is. And the story is within of how it all happened. Man is to understand. We miss that message of real victory that is needed by every man and woman who's born into this world. Then we miss it all. There's a blessing to those who read this book. That's what John said. And then second, there's a blessing to those who listen. Those who listen. You ever felt like people just weren't listening to what you were saying? I'm sure you have. I know parents have. We say certain things, and we sometimes even have to look at these little ones and look and go, did you hear me? Are you listening to me? But it's not just children. I think children are probably better listeners than adults. When it comes to listening, how important is it to be a good listener? It's the difference between understanding and not understanding. In the letters, in every letter that Jesus writes here to these seven churches in Asia Minor, however you want to sum up the word seven, we'll deal with that in another lesson. But there's seven that are listed. Every one of them, Jesus said, he that hath an ear, what? Let him hear. What's he saying? Just hear? Or is he saying listen? He's saying listen. If you've got ears, listen up. That's what he's saying. It's what he wants. He wants man to listen. God has been asking us to listen since the beginning. And it wasn't long into the history of mankind that he could have very easily looked at Eve and Adam and said, what part of not eating the tree did you not understand? He could have very easily said, did you not listen to me? God has always wanted man to listen. You know the problem? Man just keeps talking. He keeps assuming certain things. He doesn't want to listen. He thinks he's already got the answers. Or assumes the answers. Not everyone who is exposed to the Word of God is willing to hear it. Or in other words, not willing to listen to it. Some are really deaf to the Word of God because of their own expectations of what's already there. Isn't that something? You ever expected something and it was something completely different? You were kind of thrown back and saying, that's exactly what I'm saying here. I'll give you an example of this. It was said that Theodore Roosevelt was so tired of no one really listening to him at these long receiving lines in the White House. He wanted to do an experiment because all these people had come through the lines at the White House. You know, they always do this. And people come by and shake hands with the president, you know, and everybody's going through. And he got so frustrated because it didn't matter what he said. People just weren't listening. And so for the next big event at the White House, Theodore Roosevelt decided he would do a little experiment. And so with everyone who walked in and walked through the line and shook his hand, he said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And people went through and he said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And they'd say, oh, that's wonderful, Mr. President. others would say, "Great, keep up the work, the good work, Mr. President." Others would say, "That's the greatest idea I've ever heard, Mr. President." Until finally, the ambassador of Bolivia came through at the end. He shook his hand and said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And he leaned in and said, "Well, Mr. President, she probably had it coming." Only one out of the entire long line visiting the president. Wouldn't you think that if you're going to stand in that line and shake the hands of the president, you might ought to be listening? God is so much greater and man doesn't listen. He thinks he already knows. He thinks he's already got the answers. He looks at every book, every word Jesus ever said and said, "Got that, I know what that means, I know what that means." And they make the expectations or expect something else in their minds, and that's exactly what they see or hear. Jesus is saying, your ears are for more than hanging your glasses on. If you have ears, listen. Some are expecting to hear something different when it comes to what God expects of us. So much, in fact, that they only hear what they want to hear. They don't truly listen to what God says. And quite honestly, they're not interested in it. The Apostle Paul told Timothy it was coming. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." They won't endure it. "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn their ears from the truth, be turned unto fables." That's what we want. Don't tell me what he said. Tell me what I want to hear. Don't tell me what God says. Tell me what will make me feel better. Paul said it's coming, Timothy. It's going to be a time. They'll even find these people that'll say these things, and they'll prop them up and say, "Now, tell us so that it just tickles our ears." People like that, they don't listen. They only hear what they want to hear. They expect to hear what they want to hear regarding salvation and how one becomes a Christian. Find somebody that'll say what they want to hear and they'll pay them to do it. Or it comes to the gospel and how that gospel is defined and how it works. Or they will they'll get somebody, they want to hear something different about worship. Find somebody that'll say this and that and this and that. Why? That's what we want. Find a guy, he'll do it. We're set and ready to go. Or the deity of God. The deity of Christ. The Trinity. They're not interested in hearing what God says. They're going to heap to themselves teachers so that their ears can be tickled. What happens when this life is over? "And I don't want to hear what God says about that. I want to hear something else." When one truly listens to the revelation of God, he's blessed. He's blessed. He's blessed to understand what one must do to be saved. He's blessed to understand the power of the gospel. He's blessed that Christ established His church and His and only His church. He's blessed that He understands that worship is to be done in spirit and in truth. That He recognizes that the saved are truly in Christ. They're in the body of Christ, the church, that the saved are there. He's blessed to know that. And that one day the righteous will be in heaven. He's blessed to know that. John says when we listen to the writing in this book, we are truly blessed. But not only did he say those that read it are blessed, and those that hear it. Then he said in verse 3, those who obey it. The blessing is found to those who are obedient. Bynes' lexicon actually uses the word, records verse 3, the word keep in verse 3 as to mean to observe, to give heed to, as in keeping commandments. Isn't that interesting that Christ is interested in us keeping commandments? Yeah, we keep them. We keep them. That means more than just suggestions. We follow them. James, in his writing, made it very clear that it's easy to substitute hearing for actually doing. We know that to be true. And with James, talking about faith and showing faith are really two completely different things. And in our Lord's letter here in Revelation, and we will see that to the churches of Asia Minor, he told the people specific things to do. Now, that sounds like obedience to me. He said to Ephesus, repent and do the first works. That's what he said. He expects obedience with that. Pergamos, to repent from the acceptance of false doctrine. Apparently there is such a thing. If there's true doctrine, there's false doctrine. Bothered Jesus that they were accepting the false doctrine and said, stop it. Stop it. Repent. Go back and quit accepting that false doctrine. Thyatira, he told them to maintain the words of Christ and do it till the very end. I mean, just never quit till it's over. Laodicea, he said, open the door. Open the door and let me in. It's one thing to read the Bible and know what God requires. It's totally another thing to know what God requires and fulfill those requirements. It's the difference between obedience and disobedience. It's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between saved and lost. How wonderful it is with a book that has so many different numbers and colors and shapes, pictures, that it begins with a threefold blessing. A failure to understand that blessing is to fail to understand how one should live his life upon this earth. We should always read carefully, study seriously, and obey passionately. And if we do, we'll receive the greatest blessing of all, the ultimate victory when this life is over. I'm looking forward to our series in the book of Revelation. I hope you are too. If you're visiting with us today, I'm going to encourage you to come back next Sunday because you're right at the beginning of this series and I'd hate for you to miss any of it. I'll leave you with this thought. God has provided the greatest blessing and He's made it available to us. The question is, have we accepted the blessing? Have we accepted that blessing? With it is the promise. Oh, and He is so, so true to His promises. The blessing to have our sins washed away. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. To be forgiven completely. Based upon our belief in Christ, and repenting of our sins, and being baptized to have our sins washed away, why, we've really found something. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. That is. If you need to respond today to that blessing from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we encourage you to do so. Let's stand together and sing.